Yes, sir. This is your host, Brandon.
And this is Q.
And this is the Kimi Pod. Listen, if you're a first-time listener, man, make sure you subscribe, like, make sure you put a five-star comment, or not comment, just click five-star. And this is the Kimi Pod, man. We're going to just dive deep on a whole lot of things, a lot of challenges men kind of face across the board. And do me another favor also, make sure you go to Kimi _ podcast on Instagram and check out that Facebook page too as well, man. Q, my brother, what's going on?
Not much, chilling, man. A little tired from the work week, but you know, we're here. How you doing?
Man, I'm swamped too, bro. Today I woke up early, go to work, man, and then right after that, I end up on we got church anniversary coming up. Mm-hmm. And so we redid some stuff in the worship center. And put some new carpet down, paint. Cut the grass. You know what I'm saying? Clean up. So I've been pretty busy today, man.
So what's your actual position at church? You just you're a deacon or something?
No. I think they want to make me a deacon, but you know what I'm saying? I feel like I ain't, you know, up to speed on that, man. I feel like I need a, you know, shadow a little bit.
All right, so let me tell you this deacon story real quick. Yeah. Man, I was younger. My granddad is a bishop. So he passed away now, but when I was younger, I used to aspire to be like a junior deacon, man. So I was chilling with my cousins then one day, and my granddad was outside. You know, when you get with your cousin, I always be my own man, but just this day, I was kind of under the influence of those guys a little bit. So, man, my granddad heard me cursing. he called me over. He said, "Grandson," he said, "did I hear you say what you just said?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Wow, I was going to promote you to junior deacon, man." Man, I bust out crying. Man, I cried so hard, man, I cried. I'm telling you.
Hey, you know, just thinking about that story, like somebody like your granddad, it was somebody you had looked up to?
Yes, sir. I feel like he really showed me the definition of what a man should be like. I was talking about him earlier with my uncles, and it was the small stuff. It, like, of course, it's the life lessons, but it's the small stuff. Like, man, we outside, we competing. Like, my granddad and them had a bunch of kids, so, you know, that goes without saying. They had kids, so all my cousins, we at the house, we competing. We just doing manly stuff. It's not no sitting in the house. He taught us cutting grass, fishing, cleaning fish, like, life, real life skills. So I definitely looked up to him.
You ever seen your granddaddy mad or anything, or angry, or he was like the type of man that say what he say, mean what he say, you know what I'm saying? And
when I was younger, I never really seen him angry. Like if he had something to tell us or like discipline us, he kind of just, it's the law what he say. Like, it ain't no, I'm about to argue with y'all. Like, he was very stern toward, like, when he got a little bit older, like, because of maybe dementia or something, he was, you know, a little bit angry sometimes. But other than that, no.
Mean what you say. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. My granddaddy always used to say, mean what you say and say what you mean.
So right, like, no sugar coat.
One time, like, and really in those days, I'm only going to tell you one time.
Right. It ain't no, man, I had to tell that boy, no, I'm going to tell you one time. And after that one time, I want to be politically correct when I say this. He's only whooped me once in my life, once. But that's all it took. He heard me disrespect. I wouldn't even say I was being disrespectful, but my mama had to tell me something more than once.
Yeah.
And I kind of said something under my breath, and he heard me. And that joker made me go pick my own he told me to pick three switches out. Braided them together, just went to work on me. He never had to
that
do
much
that again.
That was a thing back in the day, braiding them switches together, man. Because I didn't got my behind cut, my legs chopped with some switches. You ever got your legs like with some switches?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel like it hurt worse than like a belt.
I'm telling you. And then the crazy part is, it's like my grandma and them had this tree by their house that grew nothing but switches. And so my mama and them, they'll be like,
what you call it, a switch tree?
Switch tree. And the thing is, they'll be like, you had to go get your own switch. Like, and you don't, like, you know, when you're younger, you're trying to pick out one that you feel like, oh, this ain't going to really bother me. Yeah. So you get it, got with that one. Then she go outside, or they go outside and get one. So, yeah.
I think that's super dope, man, that that your granddaddy, when you told, you know, the story about mm-hmm. you wanting to be a junior deacon, and then he heard you saying some, you know, some yeah. stuff with your cousin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, the part that I really wanted to kind of bring out and point out is the fact that, the reason why I asked you all them questions is because he didn't, like, raise his voice or nothing like that. He just told you that in a calm way, and you got what he said, and that jump made you feel some type of way.
Yeah, when he said,
and it took no cursing or
nah,
yelling.
None of that. He said, grandson, I'm disappointed in you. And it, I don't know, man, it's like them words kind of like, man, them words, I'm disappointed in you kind of.
It only worked with people that you look up to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Those like words
somebody,
penetrate
yeah,
me.
That, it was somebody random, you know what I'm saying, that don't have that type of, or you look up to, or reverence in the sense, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because they don't have that value.
If you disappointed somebody, that means they held you in a certain esteem. That means they had you at a certain level. And for whatever reason, whatever the situation, you lower that for them.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm shocked. I'm disappointed. Like, had any of my other cousins done it, he would have been, like, he would have said something to him, but he wouldn't have been, like, all on them like that. But he would have said something to him. But with me, it's like, that wasn't a standard for me. Like, he already knew, like, no, you couldn't tell him. My grandson, you if you went up to him and said, man, this grandson right here, man, this man cursed like a sailor, my granddaddy wouldn't believe you.
So let me ask you a question. You had people fooled?
Nah, it's just like, man, I'm going to be honest. Like, ever since I've been little, like, and it was kind of annoying. And for the longest, almost traumatizing. Like, they've held me to a certain standard. Like, man, it could be like, because most of my cousins and my brother, they're older than me. But I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or anything, but it's like everybody always put me on like a pedestal because I was kind of like way more mature for my age. So, man, those guys, we could go out and let's say, for instance, if we went out and had a drunk night, they'll get, you know, they'll get whatever they get. But when it come to me, it's like everybody that hear about the story gonna be like, and I'm just so shocked that you just out of everybody, I never expected this from you. Like, so that expectation was kind of, it became to be a lot. I ain't gonna even lie to you. That was a lot. Like, in that, to me, that's kind of hard being put on the pedestal like that. I think that's why now I'm so humble, because I don't ever want to be put on the pedestal, because it's hard enough to deal with your internal expectations for yourself. But when everybody else got super duper duper high expectations for you, and every little mistake you make is like magnified times 10, man, that's almost like mental torture, for real.
As you was talking, man, I couldn't help but reflect on my childhood stories. I'm the oldest in my family, so mm-hmm. so basically I always had that type of pressure. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And in the beginning, it wasn't me putting me on a pedestal. It was more like, okay, you the oldest, you gotta lead by example. You know what I'm saying? But then as I got older, like, you know, now I just kind of realized, like, you know, I call it the Michael Jackson effect. Like, how Michael Jackson didn't live his childhood, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, like how he's supposed to.
Right.
Right. So, you know what I'm saying, because he was put in the limelight at a very early age. So he wasn't able to, you know what I'm saying, do the things as a normal child would be able to do. And I felt like that, you know, growing up, I felt that way You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to lead by example all the time. Mm-hmm. And I ain't had no room to even be a child. You know what I'm saying? Do things right. that kids normally do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then as I kind of got older, and as you know, just listening you talk, I just kind of recognized some of the unrealistic expectations I put on my kids about their future. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and my wife been kind of helping me kind of navigate certain things. I think a lot of stuff plays with me is I'm grown, and not only I'm grown, I'm a Black African American. You know what I'm saying? And I see the stigma of that, the stereotype, you know what I'm saying? And how we always got to be excellent. And
right.
And so the expectation on that is I expect my kids to be excellent, and that's how I kind of raise them. But I realize I have to have room for them to make mistakes and where they can learn from.
Right. Like, so we're always taught, like, as especially as a Black male, you have to be twice as good. You have to be 3-4 times as good as the competition. But also, like what you saying, that man, that's a good realization that you're having, because a lot of times you hear about honor students, all these other kids on drugs because of pressure. And as a parent, I'm not a parent, but I would think as a parent, it's a kind of a hard thing to be like, you know, am I being too lenient or am I pushing too hard? Like, it's hard to find that healthy balance.
It is.
So with that question, with what you were saying, we was having a discussion at work. I think it may have been yesterday or either the day before. When it comes to parenting and, you know, school stuff, what do you put more merit in? What, of course, when I ask you this question, you want both of them to be top tier. But what do you put more merit in, grades or actually their behavior? What would you say is more important?
I put more leaner in their behavior. Grades don't really define, you know what I'm saying, you're going to be successful in life for me, you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest, when I was in school, I a lot of times I procrastinate and certain subjects that I didn't care about, right? So, like, it's subjects that I did care about that I spent a lot of attention and put a lot of attention to. So when it come down to my, you know what I'm saying, like, my kids, I, you know, when I look at certain grades, I realize, like, you know, they ain't no D. They like C, B, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so I'm good with that, you know what I'm saying? But behavior, I think that right there translate into the real world, you know what I'm saying, more so. And a lot of times, a lot of people can look at it, well, if you know, grades-wise, like, that, it's a lot of things going in that, because you got to study, you got to do this and do that and do that, you know, to get them good grades, to get all A's, which I understand that. But at the same time, I do also realize the things that kids are interested in, they'll put more attention to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, I didn't really, you know, grades don't, I mean, it's important, but, you know, I really look at the behavior part, because at the end of the day, you know, when you step outside, you know, you go to school, you represent my name, you represent that, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, like, I feel like it's certain things that you do that you know gun well you don't supposed to be doing.
Right.
And some of the stuff with my son, man, he, you know what I'm saying, he do certain things, and I'd be like, boy, you know, he like, say for instance, if somebody come to me and said, like, my son was very disrespectful, cursing and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to hold that at the highest right there, especially if you disrespect an adult, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that right there, like, you know what I'm saying, I flip out more about that versus, like, the grades.
Right. So when I agree with you, because I'm like, you know, they do studies. They do a lot of studies on these types of subjects. And they found that in studies, most of the business owner and most of the, like, people that they would call successful are C students. And they said, like, most of the A students work for the C students. So, like you said, the behavior and the conduct and the character of you is, to me, is more important because, like you said, if in school, the subjects that I thought were, and I always felt like I was kind of being too smart for my own good, but I was like, when I was like, honestly, had thoughts like this in high school, like, this stuff that I'm learning today, this stuff that we're learning, when am I going to use this in real life, like, real life? And most of the stuff I've never used in real life. So the things that I was actually cared about as far as like, okay, my sciences, like CNA, like health classes, all of that stuff, I excelled in because I knew that after I got out of school, that was the kind of the career field that I wanted to kind of go into. So that's the stuff that I put more merit into. Of course, math, but social studies, like English, as long as I know how to read, I don't have to know a hyperbole, simile, all of this stuff, like in my everyday thing. So certain stuff, like, I just didn't put too much merit into, so I didn't feel like it was important. But, you know, that behavior, your character, and your conduct, man, that stuff precedes you before you even walk in the room sometimes because I'm finding out more and more in life, it ain't always about what you know. It's about who you know. And if people know your reputation as to be one thing that kind of something that the job or the company ain't want, that's going to speak louder than if you was an A student.
You know, me and my wife was talking like maybe a week ago, was talking about, I say I wish schools have programs to help develop, you know what I'm saying, pull kids' purpose out of them, whatever they destined to be, you know what I'm saying? And she said they do because they got all different types of programs around here. And I said, well, I got to look more into them programs, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, for instance, drama, you know what I'm saying? Like it's unorthodox, right? I guess, from my background, how I've been raised. But, you know what I'm saying? I'm more focused on my kids finding a purpose and what they want to kind of do in life, right? Mm-hmm. And so my son had, you know, he like kind of acting out drama. He do, you know, like comedy skits and stuff like that. He actually really good at it, man. Some of the stuff I look at, you know what I'm saying? And I wish we kind of had more programs that kind of zoom in on that to pull that out of him, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But necessarily, like, you know, we don't. But on the other hand, my daughter, like, she said she wanted to be a nurse. And so, man, we did a whole lot of stuff. Matter of fact, this summer she's supposed to be get her CNA certification.
Oh, that's good, man.
At an early age. So, you know what I'm saying? I think stuff like that, you know, they like where we stay at, you know, they have certain things. And it may be maybe a demographic thing, you know what I'm saying? Some of the things that they have catered to the students, to the kids and stuff like that, probably more so demographic.
But, right.
And they know, like, most kids, black kids, might not be as interested in certain things. You know what I'm saying? If you look at around here, it's more sports, you know what I'm saying, driven more than anything.
I agree, but to me, the real question becomes, like, why is it more sports-driven? It's because, to me, like, I have this conversation all the time with, like, just different people. The Bible said your gifts will make room for you. If there is nobody, like, ever really, like, looking and pulling out your gifts and like, hey, this can be a lane, this can be an avenue, we're always taught, where I'm from, we're always taught, either you go be a nurse, you go to the military, you go work at a plant. We don't really, to me, I think, this is what I'm trying to say. The education system is an umbrella thing. It's not an individualized thing. So to me, you're treating everybody as a prototype, not as an individual. So when we come in here, even your learning technique, even your learning style, you may be a hands-on learner. I may be a visual. He may be another type of learner. But we're going to put it all under one umbrella. We're going to put it on this PowerPoint. We want you to sit in class for an hour and a half. Don't talk. Take notes. Listen. And whatever grades you make, it's just because you didn't apply yourself. When it's not an individualized approach, to me, that's what makes the difference. Saying like, okay, well, I see where this child right here, they kind of into, like, I'm going to take my cousin, for instance. My cousin was heavy into gaming. Back in my day, gaming wasn't really an avenue. But now, with streaming, with different, like, technology stuff, gaming is actually, there are millionaires that game. Like, there's avenues where you can be a successful gamer.
You can get a scholarship for gaming now.
Right. So, like, to me, it's like, it's the parents' job to educate, like, and to learn what their child thing is.
And you got to have an open mind for that.
And you do. And you got, but you got to be willing to do it, because it's like this to me. If the U.S. is in school, they teach you how to be a worker. They teach you that you get up in the morning and for 8 hours a day you go work. They teach you that. That's your routine from pre-K to high school. They teach you that. Now, if a lion, and we're what do they call us? Capitalism, it thrives off workers, having workers. So if everybody want to be a boss and everybody want to be an entrepreneur and everybody want to be this high person, high value person, high dollar person, this company runs by debt. So therefore, if the lion ever teaches, if he talked to a gazelle and say, hey, listen, this is the way you really get away from me. How we like to attack is this right here. We like to come at this angle, then we'll send somebody this way. And they taught the gazelle how to get away from them. They may never eat again. So why would I teach your child means to become independent in that manner of doing something that you love to do? Because we've all heard of saying, when you're doing something that you love, it's not really work. But why would they teach your child that when they need workers? They don't want people to. You think they'd be happy when these people pop up from different places and they had this idea, they became a millionaire? No, we need workers. These factories you see, these jobs that you see, these all of this stuff, they need somebody that's gonna work. They don't want you to ever think outside the box. So it's our job as a society, as parents, to kind of like notice that, and like you said, have an open mind to even look into what your child thing is. What does your child do naturally? What is their God-given ability? Because God would not place anybody here on earth and not give them something. I was talking to a girl one day at work, and she was like, I said, what do you think your God-given ability is? She said, I don't have one. Now, this same young lady, she can go into a thrift store and put together an outfit that you would think, like, came out of Saks Fifth. I said, that's a gift. I said, everybody can't do that. I said, that same gift can make you become a designer, somebody that people come to, like, for fashion tips, for can you dress me? Because everybody don't have that. God gave everybody a gift. But as the parents and as the people around these kids, it's our job to kind of, like, foster that. The school's not going to, they'll do it to a certain extent, but they're not going to really try to foster anything other than the status quo of what the industries are that we typically used to seeing. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, that make a whole lot of sense, man. People in China, man, listen, man, they real big on education. You know what I'm saying? They probably more big on, like, I guess more on engineers, create more engineers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I ain't never been to China before, but I see photos and I look at certain videos and stuff like that, and you got people talking about they moving to China, stuff like that. But, man, they almost like futuristic type, you know what I'm saying, when it comes out of technology and also they got a low crime rate and stuff like that. But that's a whole nother story. But it's just like, you know, I guess because they put all their money and everything into the education system. Now, even though I'm gonna say this, I guess this conversation kind of flowing this way, but I would say this, man. If like our kids, I mean our teachers is very underpaid, man. You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely, I agree.
And the teachers, for what they pay for college, for tuition, don't mount up to when they get out of college and get a job as a teacher. It don't mount up the same. And like, even though they got this loan forgiveness program, you work for the school system for about 10 years, and you know what I'm saying, or state, you know, they forgive your loan.
Okay,
okay. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, well, you didn't, 10 years, 10 years.
And the kids are, they're getting worse and worse. So, yeah.
The attention span ain't the same. I think we may have to, the attention span ain't the same. I think we have to change our approach, the way we look at things. Because earlier when I said you have, as parents, we have to have an open mind when it comes out of certain things. I think our education system have to have an open mind to what our future gonna look like, you know what I'm saying, especially with the kids and stuff like that. Because honestly, you know, the traditional way of sitting in the classroom and sitting at the desk, man, that right there, I just feel like we're gonna have to move on from that.
Honestly, when you really think about it, it didn't serve a lot of us well. And their attention span now, like you said, is even way less.
Way worse, yeah.
Like so it didn't really serve us well to, honestly, like, I'm one of those type of people, I like interaction. I like talking. I'm a talker. That's what I do. To tell me to come into class, once we got to high school, the class were an hour and a half. Come into class. Don't talk to your homeboy that's sitting beside you. Don't talk to that girl that you like over there for an hour and a half. Write notes. Listen to this teacher. Give a lecture style type teaching. And just sit there and be like, come on, you're talking to young men and women. You're not talking to no 20-something year old students. So, and now I see that because of, like, listening to my sister about my nieces, they're lowering their expectation for those little kids to even sit in class, not talk, not play, and just, you know,
figure things out. Man.
When they can't do it, they love to come with the autism and the ADHD thing.
That's a whole nother topic, right?
Because you're asking a 5-year-old to now sit in class for an hour, don't talk to his buddy, don't talk to her buddy, and just sit there and listen. That's not even reasonable. Yeah. We have adults that have a hard time. If you in church and you got a preacher that's sitting up there boring you for an hour and a half, you gonna find yourself as a full grown adult dozing off. So you now expecting school age kids, right?
On your phone,
right? You asking school age kids to sit up here and be better than you are, because you'll go to sleep like that.
And guess what they're doing now with the kids? You know, like, it's state law, you know what I'm saying? They can't have their phone now on them.
They can't?
They can't, yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think that's a bad thing either. Because I'm going to tell you, me and my girl was having this conversation the other day, and that technology, honestly, what I'm saying sounds kind of contradictory, but just stay with me. The technology has ruined us to a point of almost no return. Your brain is a muscle, right? Yeah. And just like any other muscle in your body, if you don't work it out, you're going to start losing it. So you think about it, right? When we were younger, if you did not have cable, it wasn't no streaming, it wasn't no on-demand stuff. If you did not have cable and your show came on Saturday at 11 o'clock, right? You had to be focused to get all your tasks done, because you know you ain't about to watch TV in your mama's house if you ain't clean your room, if you ain't did everything you was supposed to do. So, boom. You know your show come on at 11. So, you're focused enough to have all of your tasks done by 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, you're sitting in front of that TV because you don't want to miss none of it. So, you got the focus, and your brain is really tuned in to that TV. So, now you have a child with a tablet. When he or she gets on YouTube, they have suggestions, and you know your algorithm is all it's doing is bringing up stuff or the type of content that you watch.
You the consumer,
right? So now when that little child has a tablet and he's watching, they're watching whatever you put up there for them. When they see something else that gets their imagination, they click on it. So now if you go back and look at your history, that child ain't finished and saw not one video through because they were so unfocused. The streaming made them unfocused. So then you look at, what was the other thing we said? Phones. Back in the day, we had to remember numbers. Like, I still know my grandma's number from when I was in elementary school. They don't have a house phone number. They ain't even alive anymore. So I'm going to say it, 752-5563. When that changed, it was 752-5589, 752-5523. So those are all three numbers that they had. And I remember that from an elementary student. Now, I can't remember nobody's number because I don't have to. I don't have to know anybody's number. My phone does it. I don't have to know how to do any math. My phone does it. I don't have to know how to spell. I can speak to my phone and it's going to put the sentence in there. So now we don't have to use our brains for anything. You don't have to retain information. Go to Google and in 2.3 seconds, you got 3 billion things on Google. That's what you typed in. Like, so you don't use your mind. So now your attention span ain't right. And like your mind, we don't use it anymore, which is really sad. But I don't think anybody ever really looks at the how technology, it has helped us greatly. I'm not saying it didn't, yeah. But how it has also harmed us, because now you see like, yo, people just really ain't as smart as they used to be.
Nah, they ain't.
But if you look at billionaires, I do a lot of studying on billionaires. These jokers would take a week-long vacation just to read. Nowadays, we won't read a physical book to save our life, but we expect to be able to, our mind to be working. You already don't use your mind because your phone and your computer does everything for you. So now you don't read either. If it don't pop up on social media, most people won't even know what happened. So
I like how you put that together right there, man. And you're absolutely right. You know, like I remember a time where, like, just something real simple. When you at a convenience store or you at the grocery store and it's a long line, like people waiting in line and you look and then they got their phones out, looking at their phone, waiting to kind of move up. Or you at the stoplight and the light green and somebody in front of you ain't drove because they still burying their face in the phone, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like almost to the point, and it's crazy. And I challenge everybody, man, who listening to this. Like, say for instance, Facebook. Take Facebook, right? Delete the app. And I guarantee you, without you thinking about it, your thumb will go to the spot where the Facebook app
mm-hmm.
at. You know what I'm saying? Because it didn't been, it, I guess you didn't create a habit of doing it for so long. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, I think we all can have a detox from just social media and from using our phones like that from scrolling. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's a real life challenge. Thing. A challenge that we used to do at work. Sometime I would just like hand out some papers and I would ask all the employees, I was like, y'all, let's play this little game. We would do long number math multiplication problems just to see like if you still got it. Like, and most of us, myself included, a lot of times I'm like, bro, this is crazy. And I know we've been getting taught multiplication since it was a point in time when I was in school, man. When we was in elementary school, I knew every multiplication from 1 to 12 because they had a little chart thing that taught us that. I memorized it. I knew it. Man, as a grown man, what's 7 times 9? I really got to think like, what is 7 times 9? And now that I'm thinking about it, what is it? Is that 63?
Yeah, man, cut it out, man.
No, 63. Bro. I'm
Hey, somebody in the, well, I guess by the time this air out, man, they probably do the same thing. What is 7 times 9?
Yeah, I'm for real. Like, cause
what about 9? What about 9 times 7?
63. but it shouldn't even take me like man, it was a point of time where like, we used to play this game called Challenge where my teacher, it's first one of three, me, you and somebody else competing in class, where she call them out and we just boom, 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 first one of three, you go get a prize. But now as a grown man, because I haven't used this stuff without the phone, without technology in so long, we don't even exercise that stuff anymore.
We don't, man. I ain't even gonna lie, Q. I'm sitting here thinking, I said, dang, I don't even know how we got on this subject. We was supposed to be talking about trauma.
Yeah, that.
And we went, but nah, like, I love it, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's super dope. So these are some of the things that we kind of see in our community, man, in our society. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, I don't know how. What are some ways where we can kind of combat that, man? You know, with social media, you know, with technology, what else we talk about? Even for people who have kids, man, that I tell a story, man. My when I was young, my baby brother had wanted to go, had wanted to join the choir at school. You know what I'm saying? He was, you know, pretty gifted sing, but he was pretty like a heavy set kid. And so, you know, my dad, I think he went for a couple of days, but my dad like got to the point where he was like, "Man, no, you ain't going. Why?" He was like, "Man, you too big to talk about be singing on somebody's choir." You know what I'm saying? That killed him. That killed his motivation right there, everything. You know what I'm saying? And so I guess, you know, reason why I said earlier about having an open mind, especially you got kids who want to do some things that you may, I ain't saying like nothing crazy or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying?
Just unconventional, yeah. unconventional ways. Right.
Yeah, it just, you know, sometimes we got to take, as parents, we got to take our, I guess, you know, think outside the box when we come out of our kids, man. And, you know what I'm saying, you got nieces and nephews too, so, or, you know what I'm saying, people with kids, man, you can kind of help, you know, because parents, man, we do need some help, though, you know what I'm saying?
I think...
People with no kids see things from a different perspective versus parents, man.
And the first thing they like, the first thing when I know I hit somebody and it could be right.
Yeah.
"You ain't got no kids. I ain't listening to you." I said, "Yeah, but you thinking about what I said." Like, dang, I ain't think of that. But honestly, when it comes to the technology thing, something, and it's so minute, when that child is watching something on the tablet, because you can't take the stuff away. It's here. It's here to stay. The technology is here to stay. Just if that child is watching something, make them see it through. Like,
right.
I don't know if the technology has these things where you could lock the screen where that child has to watch it. That increases your attention span. And if you choose, whatever you should choose to watch, you're going to see it through. You're not going to put the tablet down and go do something else because you're breeding the attention span issues. Because if that child can just... Okay, I want to watch this. I watch it for 5 minutes. I'm putting the tablet down. I'm going to do something else. Okay, that don't satisfy me. For next 5 minutes, I'm going to do something else. You're going to have a child that can't see anything through. So when that child gets on that tablet or if the child decides to watch the TV, make them see it all the way through, the whole episode. Because when we were growing up, when we watched TV, we watched the whole episode. We focused. We were tuned in. But one, we did everything we had to do to get to that point to even be able to watch that show. So when that child is watching that tablet or watching that phone, make them see it all the way through because that tells them, okay, you started it, finish it. You started it, have the attention, the discipline to sit up there and watch it. It'd be small stuff that's very good teaching points that I think a lot of times as parents, they miss out on. It's something as simple as like recreation sports. They tell me like a lot of times now, it's even hard to get kids to play rec sports. And a lot of parents be like, I'm not making my child do it. Well, that's cool. But look at the stuff that rec sports actually builds up in your child. Dedication, teamwork, knowing how to take authority. Like I had a little cousin playing basketball, man, and I would go watch his games. And every time I go to the game, he did all the hard work. Like he rebounded. He diving on the floor. He doing everything. But he had two little guys on his team. The two guys were great. They were great players. And every time he get a rebound, he just throw it out to them and they do whatever they want to do. They didn't do the hard work. He did the hard work. So I went about 3 games and I wasn't going to say nothing to him, but my spirit couldn't just let me just go and not say something to him because it's bigger than basketball. So I told him after the game, I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, why do you dive on the floor? Why do you do all that stuff to help my team win? I said, why don't you take any shots? Well, they don't really want me to. I said, listen. In life, if you work hard for something, enjoy the fruits of your labor. Don't just go work and just give everything you got away. I said, don't let people walk over you. I said, you're doing the work to be able to take 1, 2, 3 shots a game. I said, have the confidence to do that. You have the confidence to go do everything else on that court. Have the confidence in yourself that I'm going to take a shot. I said, man, I don't care if you don't be Michael Jordan. I don't care if you're not LeBron. I said, I need you to take a shot. I said, at least give yourself an opportunity to win. So he started crying. Man, when he started crying, my girl was with me. We get back in the car. He get in the car with his mom. She, why would you do him like that? Why did you make him cry? I said, first off, I'm having discussions with my little cousin like that. I said, his dad is dead. I said, it's bigger than basketball. I said, I need you to stay where you are. You're not gonna understand it. But I'm gonna break it down for you because you've never seen me in this mode. I said, I told her all the life lessons I was trying to teach him. So I called his mama, which is my aunt. I said, Aunt Gwen, you don't feel like I was too tough on him, do you? She said, no, I haven't seen him cry in so long. She said, so whatever you did must work. I said, could you please put him on the phone? So I asked him, I said, I know I made you cry. I said, I know I made you upset. I said, you want to come to your next game? He was like, yeah. I said, all right. Went to the next game. He took two shots, scored back to back. Man, I almost ran on the court. I said all that to say this. It's stuff that teaches life lessons that parents, I feel like, give their kids too much of a choice sometimes. And I'm not saying you should be a slave driver, but it's nothing wrong with that child playing rec sports. Let them learn to build something, like build their character, build teamwork, let them be responsible for something. Like, yo, you have a dedication to your team to be there, to show up. You have a responsibility to listen to your coach. It's little stuff like that parents miss out on a lot of times that can be so major and so big. Like we said with the technology, make your child see it through. If they choose to watch something, make them go all the way with it. I know I went off on a tangent just now, but you know.
Nah, that was fire, man. I'm sitting here like, where my pen and paper at, man? I should have been taking notes, man. That's the reason why I say, like, you know, people who don't have kids, man, they get to see, you know what I'm saying, what other parents, how they do things, and they can able to kind of help them out if they allow them, you know what I'm saying, allow mm-hmm. a person who don't have any kids to help them out, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, you see things from a different perspective than most parents do, you know what I'm saying? Even though they in it, you know what I'm saying, sometimes they can't, you know, they too close to that mirror, so to speak.
And a disclaimer, we're not saying nobody is a bad parent.
Yeah.
We're sometimes you just need your eye, like you said, too close to that mirror. Yeah. Like, take a step back and look at it from a different perspective and just see ways and little nuggets that you could and get little gems on how you could be better. Like, okay, you know what? I'm noticing that my child does flip through that tablet, and I notice his attention span, it ain't long. Let me try this right here and see, will this help? It might not fix the entire problem, but let me see what I see an improvement. Okay, my child don't want to play sports. My child don't want to do nothing but sit at home. Well, let me sign him up for basketball. Let me see if that broaden his horizons on things. Let me see if that, because a lot of males don't have positive male influences in their life. But our coaches, when we playing rec, becomes almost like father figures to us. So, man, my coach, man, Mr. Lee, he used to, man, everybody in the hood, love him. Like, even to this day, love him. If he see you at a game, Mr. Lee, like, became a father figure to everybody. So just try different little stuff, like, and it may help, it may not, but at least you can say as a parent, like, I've done. And of course you pray, you know, all of that, but we got to be responsible for some stuff too. You can't just ask God to do everything and we do nothing. Because part of that is faith without works is dead. So you're still going to have to put in some work. So just try different little stuff, like, and you know, reach out to people like me and yourself. Like, if you for the listeners, you will see the tags on all of the pages. And, you know, just reach out to us. We may be able to help out, give, you know, a positive, encouraging word. You know, so just it allows you to see stuff from a different perspective and just try different stuff. And you might be surprised what actually works.
Yeah. I almost feel like you kind of experiment with kids in a sense, but you know, I know the Bible said train a child up, and I think it's in that context is probably speaking from a different place of training them up so they, you know what I'm saying, so they won't depart, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, but also from the other aspect of it, the other way I kind of also look at it is, you know what I'm saying, we kind of training our child up in many things in life, you know what I'm saying? And you just kind of, you know, trying to see, like you just said, see what works. And my son at an age now, I'm just, you know, he's 12, so it's a lot of things, you know, I, like, because he's 12, that pre-teenage is like a weird age, You know what I'm saying? Because they don't really know. They smelling themselves. You know what I'm saying? His voice starting to crack up a little bit, getting deep. So, you know, and I know one of the things is trying to connect with him, see what he likes, you know what I'm saying? And I like what you said earlier, man, and this is the reason why I say I'm taking notes as well, even though I'm the host, I'm taking notes as well, man, because, you know, one of the things is putting him in, you know, not giving him a choice, you know what I'm saying? When he was kind of growing up, didn't give him a choice. I put him in some of everything as he got older, like this age right now, trying to really figure out what angle, you know what I'm saying, you know, he want to go in. Because, again, as a parent, you don't want to waste your money, you know what I'm saying, on certain things. And if you're going to do something, if you're going to start something, you're going to finish it all the way out because you're not going to quit, right? And right now he doing the band thing, you know. He played two instruments, which I thought was
fire. What did he play?
He played the trombone and I know he played trombone. It's another instrument he played.
It's a wind instrument?
Yeah, it's a wind instrument. What is that junk called?
The clarinet?
It got to be clarinet because he was marching band.
Okay.
If he
doing that, then that's a clarinet.
Yeah, that's okay. Clarinet. Yeah, so, you know, and he real good at it. You know what I'm saying? He sang and everything. He real good at it. Now, because I'm a, you know what I'm saying, like an alpha, I ain't no alpha male. Me and my dad got in, and his friends got in dispute about alpha male. He said, Brandon, I feel like you're alpha male. I said, no, I don't really want to claim that alpha male thing because it's a lot of negative kind of attached to it in a sense. But that's a whole nother topic for another podcast, you know what I'm saying? But how I kind of look at me as a man, you know what I'm saying? I never was into, like, art stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I played sports. I did some of everything. And, you know, I got a son who don't, you know what I'm saying, too much care for sports. And I'm be real, that made me feel some type of way. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and because that's typically what every dad want to do. I want to go to my son's game. That's the dad thing. Like, right. I understand. I get it.
And I had to change my perspective on how I look at things, man. And I remember one day, man, I was doing some basketball drills, man. And I love basketball, man. I wanted him to love basketball, too. I was trying to show him a certain technique of laying the ball up, making it real simple, you know what I'm saying? And teach him, like, the gather step, you know what I mean? And he did a layup, and he made it, but it wasn't like how I showed him. That made me feel some type of way. I said, son, that's good. You made a layup, but that ain't what I show you. You know what I'm saying? And then you know what he said? He said, Dad, not everything got to go exactly how you say it. Like, I did it this way, and it had worked for me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna be real. I was mad about that. And then, you know, I made him do some other stuff, and then he went in the house. I kind of missed that moment. In a sense, but then later on, like maybe the next day, because I thought about what he said, and you know what, he was absolutely right, man. Because I you know, sometimes I could be so stuck in my own way,
all of us.
And see him like do it this way right here, do it this way. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I could be so stuck of seeing that, and what I realized was, you know what I'm saying, that was his best, even though I felt like it wasn't his best.
Right, man. I'm gonna tell you, that takes a skill to even be able to salute to you, because that takes a skill to even be able to be open minded.
Like, I apologize for that too. Like,
oh son, yeah, that's major too.
Well, I said, son, you know what I'm saying? You know, you was right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do get stuck in my own way of how things supposed to be, and how, you know what I'm saying, how you supposed to do this. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes kids run away from certain sports. So I got a nephew right now, man, don't even, you know what I'm saying, play play basketball. And because, you know what I'm saying, because I ain't gonna say it because of my brother, but, you know, basically he, you know what I'm saying, like every time he play, he always got a critique, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think.
Like them kids don't be wanting nobody to critique, but that's the only way you're gonna get better, ain't it?
Yeah, but we deal with we dealing with a whole different type of generation now. But even with the sports thing, up until Rick, like, I'm gonna be honest, if I have kids, I'm sorry, I know this may sound bad, they don't have a choice. They got to play. Like, once you get in middle school, like, I'm going to say, you're going to at least play 9 and 10, 11 and 12.
Yeah.
You're going to do it. I don't care if you don't like it. Because I know what sports build in people. I know why you're doing it. You may think, and then it's physical exercise. If you don't make these kids do nothing, nowadays, I don't even see kids outside anymore. They don't even ride bikes. They just be in the house. If we don't get y'all active, y'all just going to become couch potatoes. Eating just... So my kids, if I ever have any, you're gonna play sports. Like the first few years, like when you're young, Rick, Pop Warner, you're gonna do that. You don't have a choice. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry, you don't have a choice. Like, but that was big of you to even be able to come back to your son. Like, think about in the black community how many times is you can't have an opinion with your parent. You can always do stuff in a respectable way. But for your parent to come back and say, you know what? He was actually right about that. And then for you to even be able to be open-minded enough to say, you know what, let me look at it from his perspective. Big shout out to you, man. That's a mature way to look at it. And I'm sure your son actually appreciates the fact that you actually came back to him and said, hey, man, you're right.
I'm sure he probably ain't even thought about it.
No, man, listen. You think, like, it'd be the small stuff that you think kids don't think about, and then when you get older, And you hear, like, think about some of the stuff that your parents probably didn't think you paid attention to or thought about.
Yeah,
and then
fast.
When you get older and tell your story, you're like, yo, I didn't even know they looked at it like that. I didn't even know they thought about it like that.
Yeah, that's you're right. You're right. Oh, man, the time goes so fast, man.
Man, I'm sorry, because we be, man, you be having one thing. You be one way with it, man. Then we just go. Man, at this point, it's scrap the notes, man. I don't know, man. The thing that I don't know how we be doing this every time, but it flows so well, man. I don't.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, man. You got in tip of the week, word of the week, or
yeah, I got a word for this week.
Yeah.
Try to be open minded when it comes to things with your kids. Like, I'm not saying you have to give and let them run over you, but try to be open-minded in your way of thinking about things, because our way, like as B said, our way ain't always right. So, you know, just try to be open-minded and be fair.
Yeah, that's good. So, listeners, we towards our end of our session, man. I appreciate y'all. My name is Brandon.
And I'm Q.
And guess what? We out, baby.
Yes, sir.
Next time.